This is Chris McGregor of Discerning Hearts, and as many of you are aware, we've been going chapter by chapter through one of the great spiritual works of all time, The Ascent of Mount Carmel by St. John of the Cross. At this point, we've just completed Book 1, and we're about to enter Book 2. But before we do that, we thought we'd take a bit of a break and check with our resident Carmelite theologian, Dr. Anthony Lillis, who many of you are familiar with from his Beginning to Pray podcast here on Discerning Hearts. Dr. Lillis was able to take a few moments out of his very busy week to help us continue our journey as we ascend Mount Carmel. Anthony, thank you so much for joining me today.
Well, it's a pleasure to be with you, especially to talk about something so beautiful as St. John of the Cross.
And for many people who have been following on Discerning Hearts, we've taken just chapter by chapter, we try to take it in smaller doses, the great work of the ascent of Mount Carmel. And as you advised us in the very beginning, you know, sometimes we're going to have to listen to it over and over again because it's pretty powerful writing, isn't it?
It is. And he's unpacking his own poetry. And so it's helpful to listen to the commentary over and over again. So helpful to zero in on the poem itself. And because the poem he says is actually richer than his commentary on it. And sometimes it's easier to appreciate some of what's going on in the commentary when you've prayed through his poetry as well.
Yeah, and there is always a challenge, too, of translation. I mean, he was an incredible Spanish poet, besides all the other things that he was. And translating sometimes, that can alter, given the translation, our perception of it, doesn't it?
That's right. So as English speakers, we're up against a few different challenges. But still, though, there's a beauty in his poem. The poem itself, The Dark Night, is about a journey for love. And in a way, you can think about that in the broadest sense, that we're all on a journey for love, where God created us for love. There's a way in which that journey unfolds when we find our life's companion in marriage, or we can speak about it also unfolding, and this is the way John of the Cross looks at it, in terms of our relationship with the Lord. But the journey is a difficult journey. It's a passageway through a night. In Book 1, he's talked about the beginning of that night. He's also going to eventually address the end of that night. But in Book 2 of The Ascent of Mount Carmel, and really Book 3 of The Ascent of Mount Carmel, he zeroes in on the darkest part of that night. A night has a beginning and a night has an end. There's a point of departure and a point of arrival. But the middle part, just like a physical night, is the darkest part. And that's what we're going to be looking at in Book 2 of The Ascent of Mount Carmel.
Book 1, for many folks, including myself, is a real challenge. I mean, he really calls you to detach, detach, detach. But he also gives us the big why you want to detach. But again, true, it's very much a challenge, isn't it?
Yes, and so the whole logic of Book 1 is that we become spiritually awake. By spiritually awake means we're awake with the love of Christ in our hearts. We ache to find him. When you have that, all the things he talks about in terms of renunciation and acquiring spiritual freedom by renouncing everything in your life that's not for the glory of God, everything that pertains to a perfect imitation of Christ that you try to cling to so that you can find him, you're motivated for that journey. And that journey that starts with that renunciation and that quest for freedom, so because love requires freedom, is in Book 2 taken to the next level. Instead of talking about more exterior detachments, Book 2 is going to be about interior detachments.
You know, it's real interesting. Right off the bat, we come to understand that faith is that dark night, as he describes it. And I can't help but recall the words of St. John Paul II, who had such a great love for John of the Cross in his writings and his teachings. He would say of John of the Cross, if I remember this correctly, Anthony, that he was the master of faith.
That's right. You see, after we set out on the spiritual life, one of the great temptations that John of the Cross recognized, and young Karol Wojtyła, under the tutelage of Jan Tarnowski, his spiritual mentor, is that it's easier sometimes to fall back on techniques and methods in prayer and experiences and to be attached to those rather than to proceed to the Lord with kind of the total vulnerability. John of the Cross uses the word nakedness, spiritual nakedness, that faith asks of us. Faith asks of us, especially in this book too, to begin to let go of things that we've been relying on instead of relying on the Lord. And sometimes those things can come in terms of spiritual practices that we've gotten really good at, and God at a certain stage begins to make it so that those practices that we've relied on so much, he makes it so that those practices are very difficult for us to do in our lives. Sometimes we rely on interior experiences of God's presence, a sense of intuition that he's really there for us. In book one, it was about what we can do exteriorly to free ourselves for a deeper and unfamiliar encounter with the Lord, a new kind of encounter with the Lord. In book two, it's about the internal things that we can do to free ourselves for this new encounter with the Lord that he has for us, an encounter that's beyond our own spiritual achievements, an encounter that comes in our spiritual poverty and humility before him. So this journey of faith where we renounce everything except that which is going to give us him. We renounce all our attachments to spiritual feelings and things that have gotten us so far that now are holding us back because we have a tendency to love them more than to love God. In this night of faith, Jesus is going to gently help us let go of all of that. And he's going to do that by sending us difficult trials, but he's also going to be relying on the fact that we ourselves are ready to let go of everything and surrender everything and to trust him.
This book, book two, is probably the one that I have heard referred to the most, and it is quoted most often. There are different portions of it. It is very important one for us to try to enter into, isn't it?
Well, I think so. In my own time spent working with people and listening to their stories, generally one of the things that begins to hold people back, and it's true in my own life, is that we get familiar with a spiritual movement or a certain kind of prayer that we found to be very, very helpful, and then all of a sudden it stops being helpful. Our immediate thing is to fall back on, maybe I did something wrong. This is a little bit silly, but this is the way I was when I was in college. I read the passage in the scriptures where we go from glory to glory. And I thought, oh, that's my spirituality. I don't want to go through any dark nights. That's for the Carmelite people. I'm just going to go from glory to glory. Well, the reality is what St. John teaches us is that if we're going to be Christians, it means that we're going to renounce ourselves, that's book one, pick up our cross, that's what this book two is about, and follow in the footsteps of our crucified God. To follow Jesus, to find Jesus, we must not be afraid of the cross. And we must not be afraid to apply this cross not only to exterior things, but also interior things. Anything that we rely on rather than relying on the Lord can be something that's an obstacle to our devotion to him. And so in book two, John of the Cross really explores this deeply. If we're too attached to spiritual feelings that we get, or beautiful ideas that we get in prayer, or a spiritual exercise that allows us to use our imaginations and powerful ways, Jesus is going to begin to strip those things from us. And what John of the Cross is saying in book two is to behave with detachment towards those things so that when they're stripped from you, rather than being angry or frustrated or upset with God, we surrender to his loving plan and realize that he has an even greater gift of prayer that he wants to lavish upon us. just kind of a conclusion, something to pay attention to or to listen to very, very carefully as you go forward. Mm-hmm. You would have noticed in book one of The Ascent in chapter 13 that John of the Cross emphasizes imitation of Christ. Study his life so that you know how to behave in every matter like he did. And what? How did Jesus act? He never acted with any other motive than the glory of God. And St. John of the Cross invites us to find the freedom to act that way in our lives. In book two, that same movement of imitation of Christ will come. And he'll say, Jesus not only died to kind of sensible things in life, bodily things, when he died on the cross, Jesus was also annihilated in his very spirit. And that sounds like such a harsh teaching. John of the Cross, he said something that admonished me very much. He says something along the lines of, you know, those so-called friends of Christ who only want to be consoled, but don't want to be with him on the cross, don't want to imitate him in his spiritual death, where he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And what you're going to see in this book that is so important is he's going to say that when you have those moments in your spiritual life where you feel utterly forsaken, remember that this is when Jesus was most fruitful. This is when Jesus did his greatest work of salvation, the greatest work that was ever done in human history. So that when we face our own cross, whatever it is that the Lord asks us to bear for him, even when we feel like we've been completely abandoned, if we will be faithful and believing in the love of God, even though we don't understand it, that's when God's love will be most fruitful and most powerful in our lives.
Anthony, thank you so much for, again, your time and everything else. Is there anything that we, as a community, as we're journeying, is there anything we can pray for you? And is there anything that we can offer in spiritual accompaniment for you this time?
The most important work that the Lord has entrusted with me with, is here at the seminary where we're helping young men discern the priesthood. And our culture is so confused and broken in so many ways, and these men are coming out of it, and they want to do something beautiful for God with their lives. And yet they have so many obstacles they need to confront, oftentimes difficult discernments to make, and in particular, the battle for purity of heart. And so if our listeners could please pray for all men who are discerning the priesthood today, and that they will have the strength they need in our time to undergo that spiritual battle by which Christ will purify them so that they can do something beautiful for God with their lives. I would be very, very grateful for that.
Well, amen, let it be. And I am confident you will have many souls offering up that prayer on their behalf.
Thank you.
Anthony, thank you so much.
Have a great day. Thank you for this opportunity. What a wonderful, wonderful blessing.